You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Friday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different. Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. And we're all going to be watching with high anticipation this weekend as either Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill or both, whomever it ends up being, is going to be taking over for Drew Brees. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Before we get to the rundown of today's episode, I want to say a quick congratulations to one of our very own here at the Locked On Saints listener fam. Gage Hoglund and his bride-to-be Madison are getting married this weekend. Congratulations to you both. Make sure you enjoy every second of it. Much love to you both. We've got a very fun show for you today. Saints legend, former Saints running back Deuce McAllister is here to talk about Jameis, Saints running backs, and which players to keep an eye out on against the Falcons as we preview Sunday's game. That'll be segments 2 and 3 of the show, but we're going to kick things off with the injury report. And I'm going to tell you who I believe are the three most important Saints, besides the quarterback, of course, in Sunday's matchup against the hated Atlanta Falcons. As always, I am your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, your Tuesday co-host, the National Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints released their updated injury report on Thursday. They've got a couple of upgrades, but one very important downgrade who happens to be one of the most important players on the field outside of the quarterback in this game. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So the New Orleans Saints list the same 9 players on Thursday's injury report as we saw on Wednesday, but some injury designations were just a bit different. The guys that remained consistent in the did not participate column: Josh Hill, Drew Brees, Dwayne Washington. No big surprises there, but you did get 2 upgrades, with both Traquan Smith and Cameron Jordan being upgraded from did not participate to limited participation. It is worth mentioning, though, that Traquan Smith did wear a non-contact jersey on Thursday, so looking like he may not be ready to go on Sunday's game, but not a huge surprise considering the brutal hit that he took to the head. But good news to see Cameron Jordan trending upwards. You got a couple of other players that did not change from limited on Wednesday, remain limited on Thursday. That'd be Ryan Ramczyk, defensive tackle, Malcolm Brown dealing with a calf injury, and Marshawn Lattimore, the Saints' number one cornerback. But they did get one significant downgrade who happens to be, in my opinion, one of the three most important players outside of Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill coming into this game. That's running back Alvin Kamara, still dealing with his foot injury, same one that he was dealing with last week that he likened to stubbing his toe in the middle of the night. He went from limited on Wednesday to did not participate on Thursday. However, he did visit with media after practice and mentioned that he's going to be just fine. He expects himself to play on Sunday, so we'll see what his designation ends up being on Friday, but at least hearing that from him is some pretty good news. But I do think that he's going to be one of the most important players on this team for the Saints going up against the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. You look at the Atlanta Falcons, they are actually top 5 in the NFL against the run, but it is a little bit shady when you look at it because they've also had the fewest number of runs attempted against them with only 207. And when you look at their yards per carry average, they're allowing more than 4 yards per carry in the run game at 4.3. That is an entire yard difference from the New Orleans Saints, who are one of the top 3 teams in the NFL against the run, have the second fewest running attempts after them, but are only allowing a 3.3 yard per carry average. So big difference between the way that those two run defenses present and actually produce on the field. So I think you'll see a good heavy dose of the run game between Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray, considering how quickly and how easily teams have been able to move the ball beyond the front 7 of this Atlanta Falcons run defense, whose highest graded run defenders are all in their secondary. Not good news for any defense when that is the case. The other player on the offensive side that I'm likening as one of my most important players in this game is going to be tight end Jared Cook. He's been a little bit down here in his production over the last few weeks. We expected some big things out of him, especially with the way that he closed out the 2019 season. But now you're looking at Jameis Winston, who threw the second most touchdowns in his career to Cameron Brate in Tampa Bay, and threw the largest amount of his red zone touchdowns to Cameron Brate as well. So he really likes to be able to rely on the tight end. Jared Cook is one of the best in the league when he's on. And of course, the young rookie Adam Trautman should be able to eat a little bit in terms of that production as well. And then the third player that I think is going to be one of the most important players in this game, again, outside of the quarterback, right? We know that that's absolutely going to be the case. But Janoris Jenkins had a really great conversation over on the Who Dat Confessional podcast on Thursday night. Elias J. Williams talking about Calvin Ridley's propensity to be able to produce in the passing game, particularly with out routes and running that route, whether it be an out or a speed out. When you look at what Janoris Jenkins has been able to do against that route so far throughout this season, there's a lot to like. He's seen that route 49 times in primary coverage, but only targeted 11 of those times. He has allowed 7 receptions for a 63.6% completion percentage, but only 32 receiving yards, a touchdown, and also has that pick six against the out route and Tom Brady in the week 1 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, allowing only a 60 passer rating so far on that route, and only a 4.6 average in terms of yards per reception allowed. So if he ends up being the primary coverage guy on Calvin Ridley, he's got a really nice matchup there in terms of being able to take away what Calvin Ridley does well, which are those out routes toward the sideline. Let me go ahead and throw a fourth in there because I love you and I'm in a good mood. It's going to be Cam Jordan as well. Cam Jordan elevated from did not participate to limited with that back injury. That is good news. But he already has 18 sacks against this Atlanta Falcons team in his career. He's definitely going to be looking for more because we know how much he loves to turn the heat up on Matt Ryan, trying to get to 20 sacks against that quarterback so far in his career. I know I just mentioned that I'm in a good mood when I'm almost always in a good mood, but today is a very special day welcoming in Saints legend Deuce McAllister to help me talk a little bit more about Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, some of the more vertical concepts and schemes that we used to see in Sean Payton's offense. Will they make a return with Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill under center? And of course, we talk about the running backs, offensive line, and specifically previewing this Atlanta Falcons game as well. So got a lot coming up for you next here in just a moment on Locked On Saints with Deuce McAllister here, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And as you sit down to watch and celebrate the culmination of Falcons Hate Week, don't forget to grab yourself an ice cold Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I am incredibly excited about this game this weekend. I can't wait to see what Sean Payton's able to create, what ends up happening at the quarterback position, and if the Saints can continue to roll along and get their 7th win through all of the adversity that they have been facing this season. We've seen them really step up, ready to see them do it again. Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, family, it is time to dive in. A very, very special guest today, Saints legend, former Saints running back, current color analyst at WWL 870, calling the New Orleans Saints game along with former New Orleans Saint as well, Zach Streif. Very, very proud to welcome in Deuce McAllister, big 2-6 coming through today to help us talk a little bit about Jameis, Taysom, the run game, the offensive line, and so much more. Deuce, thank you so much to both you and Crown taking the time to get this all tightened up and everything and get this on the books for us, man. Very excited to talk to you. But before we get into the New Orleans Saints here, tell me a little bit about what you've got going on with Crown Royal, because I know everybody loves some Crown, man.
Yeah, Ross, thank you for having me. I think, you know, this is a pretty cool initiative, and we've done something similar like this with Crown Royal and Water Break. And so for us, it's really just trying to make sure that the fans, whether you're pulling for the Saints or whomever you're pulling for, that you stay hydrated. And I think it's a pretty cool initiative that, hey, look, you can have fun. We just don't want you to overindulge. I think that's probably important, you know. So whether it's Crown on the Rocks, whether it's Crown neat, whether it's mixed with some cola or whatever it may be, have fun. We would love for you to be able to support, you know, your local bars, you know, particularly what we're going through right now with COVID. We want you to do it safely, but just to make sure that you're hydrating is probably the most responsible and thing for you to do as a fan.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Celebrate responsibly at all times. But, you know, we love what we got over here. So, again, I appreciate you taking time and appreciate you being here. I want to talk to you a little bit about these New Orleans Saints, man. I mean, look, you were a part of this team at a time where, you know, the deep ball was a little bit more present than it is today. Not that that equates to winning or anything, as we've seen here, Drew Brees doing so well, you know, despite that. But Drew Brees right now out for this next game with a rib injury. I'm curious to know from your perspective with the offense that you're accustomed to and the offense that you're a part of, could we see any of those deep ball concepts come back with Jameis Winston under center?
I definitely think that you'll see some of those concepts come back. And I think it's really, you know, just trying to put both of those players, whether it's Taysom or Jameis, in the best position to be successful. I think that's what it all comes down to, you know, and it's not like that you want either one of those guys to be Drew Brees, you know, and so that I don't think that that's what they're going to ask. And so when you tailor an offense that fits their skill sets, I think that's one of the things that you'll see is those guys probably take more shots and, you know, whether it's a deep post, whether it's maybe a flea flicker, you know, or deep over concept, whatever that may be, it's just doing some things that they probably do a little bit better than Drew does right now at where he's at in the stage of his career.
Yeah, that deep over concept, something we used to see a lot with Jimmy Graham, and we expected to see a bit with Jared Cook as well. We've seen him run that a few times in his career.
Yeah, definitely so. And so I think, you know, whether it's at the 15 to 25 yard mark, anywhere in that area, you'll see probably that come back, you know, and that's off of a hard play action outside zone. You know, they do run this concept now. And so making sure that Jameis has not only the two options, but a third option with the guy that you're faking that zone to. And so it's about putting him in the best situation. And I also wouldn't discount Taysom Hill in this as well. I mean, because right now, I don't know if you'll have that same situation that you had last year with Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom, his snap count going anywhere between 15 to 20 plays last year and all the way down to about 5 to 10.
Right.
Once Teddy Bridgewater took over. I don't know if that will be the same situation this year, just because he has kind of evolved and does so much offensively for you.
Yeah. So obviously with you as a, you know, an NFL running back, you have a close symbiotic relationship with the offensive line. How would it affect an offensive line to have a pocket passer like Jameis and then see maybe more of a presence of Taysom who can do a little bit of everything?
I think the biggest thing when you talk about just the change of those two guys from what Drew does so well now is Drew gets the ball out. We know that Drew gets the ball out. And so for those offensive linemen, you're going to have to block probably a second or two longer. And that's something that they're going to have to adjust to. I mean, but Jameis or Taysom, they can't hold the ball back there and just, you know, hold it. You've got to understand and really do work when you talk about pre-snap read. And so I think Sean has to do a really good job with his motions. He has to do a really good job with how he sets formations. So he's giving those guys a pretty good idea pre-snap of where the football should go. Now, defenses are going to show him one thing and be able to get out some plays. And, you know, they'll have the opportunity to get out some plays. He'll have some plays when he calls run it, regardless of what the defense does. So, I mean, from that standpoint, you know, it's going to be a chess match just because you don't have a guy that has played a lot in this system being, you know, like Drew Brees. But I think both of those guys, as far as quarterbacks, they're capable of going out there and being successful from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at Drew Brees so far this season, it's a 2.57 second time to throw, whereas Jameis last year was 2.77. It's only 0.2 of a second in terms of average, but that can be, you know, that extrapolates a bit once you look at it on a per snap basis in terms of how long he holds the ball. And so I'm curious to know as well, from your perspective, when you look at maybe putting some support around him, the Saints don't lack in that category at all. They have a lot of different weapons to put around him. Who do you feel like is the place, where do you feel like is the place that either he or Taysom may end up leaning on in terms of getting the ball in a playmaker's hands with so many different varieties of options out there for him?
Well, I think you know what you have in Michael Thomas, and you know, obviously that's going to be the first place that they try to take away as far as teams and their ability to be able to take him away. And so you look at really the secondary guys, whether that's Emmanuel Sanders, whether that's Jared Cook, whether it's Adam Trautman, you know, I think that you can call plays that kind of forces the ball to Alvin Kamara in a sense, which is always a good thing.
Right.
especially when he's got blocks out front, you know, and I'm not just talking about screen games as option routes, as angle routes, some different things that they can do in that sense. And so that will help the quarterback with some of his reads, that will help the quarterback with some of the decisions that he has to do. But I think it ultimately comes down to being able to lean on those tight ends and being able to say, hey, look, I can get this ball to those guys, Emmanuel Sanders, I can get the football to him, just because you know so much attention is going to be sent to Michael Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he loved his tight ends, Jameis Winston did, in Tampa Bay between Cameron Brayton, a little bit of O.J. Howard getting mixed in there. He's got some good options here in New Orleans as well. And he's got some good options in the backfield, a spot that you know very, very well and you're very familiar with. What has been your observation and your sort of take so far on the combination of both Alvin Kamara's production so far this season, which has been outstanding, as well as the change of pace that comes with Latavius Murray?
I think they've done a really good job. You know, I would love to see them probably commit to running the football a little bit more, but that's probably personal beef than more so than anything. But, you know, both of those guys, I think, you know, they have a special skill set. Obviously, Alvin is probably, you know, if he's not the top back, he's probably trying to take it right there from Dalvin Cook. Those guys go back right and forth week to week on how special they can be. And you can lean on both of those guys. And I think you really, when you look at that whole running back room, you know, and some of the things that Michael Burton brings to the table, right, you know, really you would throw Taysom Hill into that equation. It starts up front, you know, an offensive line. They've really done a nice job as far as run blocking is concerned, moving people. They've won the line of scrimmage consistently, you know, and it's going to be a tall task this week just because, you know, Grady and those guys up front, they've got to be able to establish themselves as far as running the football. And I think that will only help whether it's James or Taysom at quarterback, if you can run the football. And you're probably talking being able to run it north of 25 times. And so I think that equates well for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw Latavius Murray jump in there with 20 plus carries a couple times last year in Alvin Kamara's stead and putting up over 100 yards in each of those games. So definitely getting that volume to those running backs can produce some opportunity for both them and the quarterback to help keep them comfortable, right? That's got to be a quarterback that's coming in a situation like this. It's got to be their best friend is to have an effective running game.
This is definitely their best friend. I mean, but you can also look for Sean to kind of open it up. But at some point, you know, hey, look, I want you to lean on this offensive line. I want you to lean on this running game, because the problems that they've had have been, you know, really with pass blocking and losing in one-on-one situation. They haven't had a lot of problems unless they lost an offensive lineman, right, as far as running the football. You know, when all of those guys have been healthy and available, they've done a pretty good job of running the football. And so that's one way to take some of that pressure off of a quarterback. And then you talk about, all right, I can take some of these play action shots. You know, you can be able to say, hey, look, we're running the football. They're having to bring that safety down. I'm going to have a double move. I'm going to run this deep over. And that's only that can only help a quarterback, you know, to be able to know he's got one-on-one. The safety won't be able to get involved. Right. Giving your receiver an opportunity to go up and catch a football.
Ton of great stuff here with Deuce McAllister at DMcAllister26 on Twitter. Got more coming up here in just a moment. Going to dive into the offensive line as well as preview the Atlanta Falcons game. You're going to hear who Deuce says you might want to keep an eye out on the offensive side for that chemistry with Jameis Winston. We got that coming for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, before we continue along with Deuce, real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Jake Madison over at Locked On Pelicans. He's did a phenomenal job so far breaking down everything going on around the NBA draft and the Pelicans. So go and check him out, Locked On Pels at Nola Jake on Twitter. Go ahead and show him your support. Here's the rest of the interview that I had with Deuce. Big shout out, big thank you as well to Crown Royal for making it possible. Now, you brought up that offensive line. Would love to hear a little bit of your thoughts on this offensive line so far for the New Orleans Saints. Obviously very talented, but in the interior, very young. What are your observations on this offensive line so far?
Probably been up and down. You know, they've rotated some guys. Nick Easton has been rotating really on the left and right side because Pete's been banged up. And then obviously you missed Cesar Ruiz for a couple games. And so Caesar's probably hadn't played the best the last couple of weeks, you know, particularly in the passing game. I thought he's done really well in the running game. And so, you know, that takes some pressure off of him, because this week you're going to be matched up against another one of the elite defensive tackles in Grady Jarrett and some of the things that he does. And so, you know, we talk about, hey, look, maybe it's slide protection that you lose a little bit, you know, it's the gap presence with the fullback or the tailback being able to enter in that situation. But I think at the end of the day, you know, there will be some situations where he's going to have to just be matched up and have to win that rep. But I think, you know, overall, run game wise, they've done really, really well. It's just some of those uh-oh moments that you have when it's they get beat inside. I mean, and that's never good.
Yeah. What has Nick Eason added in terms of his assistance there? Because I see he gets rotated in at right guard pretty often. A little bit less last week because of the injury to Andres Pete coming in and out. But what have you seen Nick Eason bring to this team?
Well, he's a guy that knows what he's doing. I mean, he's a veteran guy. And so, you know, a lot of what Caesar, some of the stuff that he's seeing, it's new to him. I mean, because you're talking about a young man that really has played his whole career at center. He's played guard some,
right,
but it's been a while. And so for the Saints, it's hard without an offseason to say, hey, look, we're going to throw you into the mix as the center. Oh, yeah. And then you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback that you've got to be able to deal with there. And that's asking a lot. And so for him, every week, it's seeing something a little bit new and then playing a position that you had played a lot. And so, you know, you have moments where it's, you know, it's bad. And so, you know, I think that he's overall going to continue to get better. And that's Cesar Ruiz. But with Nick Eason, he's a guy that, you know, that he's seen some of the stuff. He's familiar with the calls. He's been able to do it with you and for you. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a guy that they throw out there, they put out there, he's comfortable in the system, and then he can, you know, obviously be able to rotate in with Cesar Ruiz.
Love that. Thank you for a little bit of so much detail on that offensive line. I think it's an interesting thing to watch so far this season, particularly with those young guys up in the middle and the way that the Saints love to, and Coach Payton love to rotate those guys over on the offensive side. Let's shift gears a little bit to this weekend's game up against the Atlanta Falcons. Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill have both seen some success against the Falcons. Obviously, they played against them a ton. They're very familiar with this team. Is this an advantageous position for these guys to get their sort of relief run up against, to open up against a team that they're familiar with?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, because when you look at some of the concepts, some of the things, you know, maybe that changes a little bit with Raheem, you know, being the coach, but for the most part, it doesn't really change. You know, from a personnel standpoint, they've got a few new players, but I mean, you're going to have some pretty good film on those guys. You know, you look at the rookie Oliver out there as far as corner is concerned. You'll have some opportunities to do some things, whether it's schematically or, you know, to be able to scheme up some opportunities against him on the back end. As far as the safeties, I do like both of their safeties, but I think they're more of box guys than necessarily cover guys. And so if you can get some one-on-one matchups with Adam Trautman or Jared Cook, I think that you like those situations, you know, and then just really being able to say, hey, look, Deion Jones, we're not going to allow you to take Alvin Kamara away from us, you know.
Right.
Because we do feel like that he's a really good cover backer, and he also does play in the box really, really well. I think that, you know, the biggest thing that you can't allow them to do is to be able to create pressure. I mean, because really they haven't done that a lot. Dante Flowers, a young man that they signed, and they haven't got a lot of production that they wanted out of him. So you can't let him be able to go off just because they're coming off their bye week. And so, you know, just from that standpoint alone, they've got playmakers over there, but the Saints are very, very familiar, and you get them twice over the next 3 weeks, really.
Yeah, and that defense has started to step up, I think you can say, at the right time, both for the stretch run coming in, for the Saints defense, both for the stretch run for the playoffs, but also for this very situation. What's the confidence in the defense right now for the Saints?
It's growing, and really what you're seeing is the defense that you had saw in training camp, you know, and it was just frustrating to be able to go out there and see them make some of the minimal mistakes they were making early in the year, and, you know, with the penalties, with the bust, the coverage bust, you know, and so look, they're still not perfect. There's still some things that they can continue to work on, but at least you see them being able to play like you thought they would coming into the season. And so that's encouraging in itself. The last couple of weeks, you've been able to create turnovers. You're going to have to continue to create turnovers. That was something that you were probably disappointed about early in the year. And then, you know, to be able to take the runaway. I mean, if you can continue to do that, you force teams to be able to throw the football. And if they are covering like they have the last couple of weeks, you're going to be able to come up with turnovers. And so we'll see if they have some of that same success. You know, you don't know the situation with Ridley, how he's going to be. You don't know how healthy Julio is going to be. Like I said, they are coming off of a bye, so you figure they're okay. You know, it's a wait-and-see approach, and we'll see what that depth chart or at least that injury report looks like on Friday.
All right, man. I appreciate it. One last question for you before I get you out of here. I'm just a little bit curious. I'm looking at Jameis, looking at Taysom. They get a lot of these reps at, you know, with the second team, third team. Is there anybody that's below maybe those wide receivers in Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, maybe a Marcus Callaway or a Deontay Harris that you feel like they might have some additional chemistry with that we could see be a factor this week?
If it's one guy, it's going to be Callaway. It's going to be Callaway just because he was elevated playing with the ones just because of the injuries and time with Emmanuel Sanders as far as COVID. He is probably the most consistent, and you know, and probably Traquan, the most consistent receiver that both of those guys you're talking about, Jameis Winston as well as Taysom Hill, he threw to. Those are probably the two guys that they feel from a throwing concept that they feel comfortable that would get some time with this number one wide receivers. And you know, we just have to see if Traquan is healthy enough with this concussion that he's dealing with, but it would be Callaway is who they've thrown to the most.
Love that. Deuce, I appreciate you very much for taking the time to join me today. Big thank you to Crown Royal for making this possible as well. I appreciate everything you do, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right, family, such a pleasure to have Deuce come through. Y'all make sure you throw him a follow at dmcallister26 on Twitter. If you're not already following him, I don't know what you're doing anyway, but go ahead and check him out. Once again, big, just real special to have him here on the show. I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm just over the moon and excited that he was able to come through and be able to give so much thought, so much analysis into this preview and everything that we have going on. So enjoy the game this weekend. Don't forget that we'll be right back with you on Monday. We'll get that victory Monday. I'm pretty sure of it. Otherwise, I'll come through with the sad boy Monday, but you know I want that victory Monday as we go over this game. Then we'll dive in and break it down all throughout the week before we start to turn our attention to the Denver Broncos as the Saints begin their three-game road trip after this game. But no need to look ahead too much. Saints got to get this win on Sunday first. We're going to learn a lot about the Saints now and potentially the Saints future as well. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode. I appreciate y'all as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support. If you're helping me grow this family, it's been Locked On Saints. And trust Who Dat Nation. I'll holla at you.